Welcome to Sharon Baptist Church. I'm so glad you joined us today. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or come join us in person or watch us on live stream. We live stream on Facebook every Sunday at 10:45, Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
I'm going to tell you a story. A true story, by the way, after I read the scriptures and share a message about no longer orphans, not yet home. Turn with me, please, in the book of Romans to chapter number 8. I'm going to begin reading in Romans chapter 8, verses number 18 through verse 25. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through verse 25. Paul has some wonderful insight to share with us about the subject that we're going to share this morning. Romans 8 and verse number 18. Paul writes in this, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Pay close attention to the story I'm going to tell, because it bears throughout all the message I'm going to try to bring this morning. Like I said, it's a true story of a young orphan and the Haitian orphan by the name of Carnita. She had now just been adopted by American parents. They had not yet come to get her to take her back to the United States to be with them. She was still in the orphanage in Haiti. But she was there knowing she had been adopted. And so they had sent her in advance of their coming. Her new parents had sent her pictures of themselves. They had sent her pictures of her new home that she was going to be going to. And they sent her also a teddy bear. And she was so appreciative of the pictures of the parents and the home and the little teddy bear. She treasured them very, very much. You wouldn't have to ask Carnita to show you the pictures of her new parents. She had shown them to you without even asking. But each night as she was waiting for her parents to come, she spent lonely nights in a little tin-covered hut, hugging her teddy bear, thinking about the day that her parents were going to come to get her and take her home. She thought about the new home daily, couldn't get it off of her mind. As she ate her meals there in the orphanage, she thought about the day would come when she would be taken home to America with a new family, new parents, and have home-cooked meals that would be so delicious. She just thought of home, how she was going to enjoy her new home. The thought of new surroundings filled her heart with joy and excitement, anticipation. Yes, she was now no longer an orphan, but she was not yet home. Now that story should say something to us, to all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We're no longer orphans in this world, are we? Didn't Jesus say to us, "I will not leave you comfortless"? That could literally be translated to saying, "I will not leave you as orphans in this world." So he promised he'd be with us. Our Savior said that. Yet we know that we're not left as orphans in this world, but we're not home yet, are we? So this story of Carnita kind of lays the groundwork for what I'm going to share today about how she looked forward to that home. I want you to examine this thought and this theme of the title, No Longer an Orphan, Yet Not Home Yet. We're not home yet, but we will be. We who know the Lord, we will be, and probably sooner than most of us would probably realize. Paul has some things I want to share with you, and using this story about Carnita to help us understand what Paul's saying to us. Look at, first of all, with me this morning, Carnita's entrance into this new family, and think about the fact of yours and my entrance into the new family of God. Verse 15, 16. Back up just a couple of verses. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Beloved, listen, Carnita was not born into her new family, not by flesh and blood. We were not born into the family of God, but we were born into the family of God by blood relationship to the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's how you entered the new family of God. You weren't born into it. We didn't deserve it. We were outside the family of God. The Bible teaches us we were aliens in the world. But by our newfound faith in Jesus Christ, we were brought from the orphanage of this world into the family of God. What a wonderful thing to think about. Listen, out of all the children this set of parents could have chosen in that orphanage in Haiti, they chose Carnita. Out of all the people in the world God could have chosen to save them and to bring them into the family of God, He chose you and He chose me. And the Bible teaches us that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of this world was ever laid. And the Bible also teaches us that it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should be brought back into the family of God, into a relationship with God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how did God accomplish this, entering us into the family of God? It's very similar to the way Carnita was brought into her new family. This entrance into the family comes, first of all, by adoption. I said again, you weren't born physically into the family of God. Neither was any of us. We were adopted. God chose us out of all people in the world. God chose you. God chose me. Now then, Carnita would have a brand new home because, you see, these parents had chosen to adopt her, to make her a part of a real family, a family she could now call her own. And don't you see how that relates to us? We now have a part of the family of God, our forever family, that we can call our own both now and forever because God has chosen us. He has adopted us. We can relate to that somewhat, can't we? We should be able to at least. God chose us. Why? Because He loved us. No other reason you could give. I didn't deserve to be chosen of God. I didn't deserve it. Wasn't worth it. Didn't earn it. Couldn't have bought it. God just chose to adopt me and to adopt you into His family. As you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ into your heart, God adopts you and puts you into the family of God forever and forever and forever. You see, you're born into the family of God by the new birth in Christ Jesus. God adopted us because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And you put in your faith and your trust in His finished work on the cross. You see, it was a deliberate choice that Carnita's parents made to choose her. It was a deliberate choice that God made to choose you. It was a personal choice that her parents made to choose her. It was a personal choice that God made to choose you and to choose me to be a part of His family. A deliberate choice, a personal choice God made. Well, no wonder Carnita was so excited about the new parents, about the new relationship, about the new family, about the new home she was about to go to. You see, when you're adopted into the family of God, just like Carnita was adopted into her new family, she became heirs of everything her parents had. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you became heirs, the Bible says, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, which means that everything that God has is yours, both now and forever. You've got to be excited about that. Surely, overjoyed she was to think about it, to look at the pictures of her new home, to think about the new parents and the new family, the real family. So excited she was to know that now she was going to be a part of a real family who, listen, who would never reject her again. That brings a comfort to my heart to know that when I became a part of the family of God, I became a part of a family that would never, under God, reject me again. How we ought to share that same joy, that same excitement that Carnita did. But you were brought into the entrance in the family of God through adoption. But with that adoption, Carnita also got some assurance. And with the adoption in the family of God, you get some assurance. Listen to what he says in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Once she was adopted, she was guaranteed to be a part of that family. What would she have assurance of to know this? Listen to me. She would know that by being adopted, she would never be rejected again. Do you realize in our laws of our land, if you adopt a child, you can never disown that child? Amazing, isn't it? What do you think she thought when she knew that once she was adopted, she would always be a part of that family? What do you think about it when you think about the fact that you became a part of the family of God, that God would never reject you? Once you get in the family of God, beloved, listen, you don't get out. In fact, you don't want to get out, do you? Ever since I got saved, I don't want to get out of the family of God. Never am I going to be disowned by God the Father. In fact, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Carnita, you see, would have a man she could call her daddy. That's what that means, Abba, Father. We have a father we can always appeal to. Well, now Carnita personally, now she very permanently became a part of her new parents' family. When you got saved, you became a personal, permanent part of the family of God. Isn't that wonderful? Well, that's how she entered into the family. She was adopted and she had assurance that came with it. The same thing's true spiritually. When you got saved, you entered the family of God through the adoption of Jesus Christ. And you have assurance to know that you're always going to be a part of that family. But something else comes along with that thought. Not just to enter into that family, but the experience she was going to experience in this new family. Now, Carnita only thought about it continually. I'm sure that she did. Her new home, her new family, her new friends she'd make. What would she experience when she came to America to be a part of that new family? Well, no doubt she thought about it. The time would arrive when she'd come. And she just anticipated that time and she was excited about that time, overjoyed about that time to come. But understand, she was no longer an orphan, but she wasn't home yet. We've got to remember, beloved, we're no longer orphans in this world, but we're not home just yet. What you think would be probably many things you could think of. I want to share two things I know for sure when Carnita got to her new home. When I get to my new home, you get to your new home, two great things you're going to experience as she would here. Her burdens would be lifted. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. She only thought about it. What experiences would be hers? Have you ever stopped to think about what experiences you're going to have in heaven? What a gracious, glorious time. First of all, your burdens are going to be lifted. Every negative experience that you have in your life ought to cause you to look homeward. Every time you get depressed about things and depressed about life and want to give up on life, take a turn and look upward to your new home that you're going to one day. Every time you have a setback in your life, whatever it may be, think about home. I'm sure Carnita did. And I'm sure God would have us do the same thing. Turn your eyes homeward. Turn your eyes upward. When sickness comes, turn your heart and eyes upward. When the unemployment notice is given to you, turn your eyes homeward. Look up. When sickness comes, unemployment comes, even when death comes, we ought to turn our eyes homeward, because those loved ones of ours that go on before us, we know if they know Jesus like we do, we're going to see them again one day. We know that, the assurance we have of that, don't we? Well, burdens will be lifted soon, as soon as I get home. As soon as you get home, as soon as Carnita got home, her burdens of this life would be lifted by her new family, her new parents, and her new friends. But something else we're going to experience in heaven, not just burdens being lifted, there are going to be blessings which are ours beyond measure. Words you could never express, blessings. Paul speaks here in verse 17, 18 about glory and about glorification. Here, when blessings come, look up. When the baby's temperature comes back down to normal, look up. Look up. Well, when the report comes back that you've been tested for COVID and other things too, when the report comes back negative, look up. When the cancer test comes and it comes back negative, look up. Look up. When the marriage problems that you may have been going through sometimes are all worked out and worked out for the glory of God, look up and thank God. When the extra money somewhere, somehow comes to pay the bills that are due, look up. Look up. I could go on and on and on, but you get the picture here, don't you? Burdens lifted, blessings beyond measure. We share so many experiences of life, don't we? Some good, some not so good. We share experiences. All these experiences of life should cause us to remember we're not orphans in this world, but we're not home yet. But praise God, we will be. You see, we have a heavenly Father, as Carnita would soon have an earthly Father, to meet her every need. We have a heavenly Father who sees to every need that we have. Nothing in my life I have ever needed has not been supplied. You could say amen to that too, couldn't you? Maybe sometimes things I wanted didn't need. God saw fit in His wisdom not to give me those things. They'd probably be hurtful to me more than helpful. But He supplies our every need. But remember, with all the blessings down here, we're not home yet. But we will be one day. So from the entrance into the family of God, the experiences that she's going to receive, we receive ourselves. Burdens lifted, blessings beyond measure. There's a third thought I want you to look at. The expectation of the family of God and the expectation here of Carnita. Verses 19 through 25, you read those for yourself. What would Carnita have to expect until the time came when those new parents would come to Haiti and gather her up and bring her home to America? What kind of experiences are we going to have between here and heaven? Well, there's going to be some pain. In verse 20, look at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Carnita is going to have some pain waiting for her deliverance, you might say. Beloved, listen, we have to go through experiences of pain. We expect pain in our lives, don't we? It's going to come. We are subject to that, the Bible says. Well, she had some pain before she went home, no doubt, thinking about how she'd love to be there and couldn't be at that moment. We have pain in our lives. All of us do, one sort or another. Even the creatures and the creation, Paul says, groans within themselves, to wit, desiring, wanting that deliverance from pain. We await that time, don't we? He says, he mentions something about them groaning. Paul could relate to that very well because, you see, Paul on one occasion said something like this. Paul said, I'm in a strait between two. On one hand, I want to just go on and be with my Lord. It'd be far better if I could just go on and be with my Lord. But he said, on the other hand, it's more needful for you. He said that I stay here for a while and that I minister for the glory of God to you and those I come into contact with. So you see, Paul could understand about the pain of wanting to go on and the necessity of being left here to minister as he had to do. I want to ask you something personal. How long has it been since you've grown to go on? Have you done it lately? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever groaned in pain saying, Lord, I just wish I could just go on to be in heaven with you, but yet God's left you here for a reason, for ministry or something he has for you to do? So we're going to have pain to expect before we go to our new home. But Carnita had the pain, but something else she had to experience here too. Patience. Look at verse 24 here. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So you see, the expectation before we go home is pain, yes, some of it, but it's going to be also patience. We all know that tribulation worketh patience. We know that. We don't like to pray so much for patience because tribulation comes with it. We don't like the tribulation, but we like the patience, don't we? Well, hope, he says, Paul says, hope. You have to wait with patience for the hope that is set before us. Didn't Jesus, our Lord, wait with patience going to the cross and for the joy that was set before him? The Bible says he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he's now set on high at the very throne of God the Father because of all those who will come to know him through his finished work on the cross. Patience is what Jesus teaches us. What's it going to be like? Carnita must have thought, what's my new place, new home, new family going to be like? What's it going to be like? You ever stop to think about what's it going to be like in heaven? What's our new home going to be like over there? The Bible says to us, the half has not been told. We can't even imagine. Our wildest imagination would fall so far short of what our new home's going to be, from an orphanage to a family to a home to a new life. From an orphanage of sin in this world, God has delivered us. And he's promised us a home in heaven way beyond our imagination could ever be. If we could realize, really, if our minds could even take it in, if we could just even realize, really, what heaven's going to be like, we wouldn't want to wait with patience for it. He says that you hope for. If you saw it, you wouldn't wait. You wouldn't have patience. You'd want to go on yesterday. So would I. So would we all. So then, that applies to us, doesn't it? Patience. Carnita had to wait until that plane came. Till those parents stepped off that plane and they gathered her unto themselves and took her back to their home in heaven or in USA. We have to wait just like she did. The time's going to come when our God's going to send Jesus for us or angels for us, or he's going to take us out of this world and we're going to be caught up together with him. But until that time comes, we must wait with patience. But if something else she thought about, her pain would be alleviated with the patience she endured, but she looked forward to perfection. We're not perfect either yet, but praise God, one day we will be. Paul talks about the glory that waits before us when we have the glorification. That means when God changes your body in a twinkling of an eye from the corruption to immortality, and we're changed to have a body like the Lord Jesus. Imagine the day. Could you just put your mind in gear and think about the day that Carnita could know that day was coming? Probably a certain day of the week, month, whatever. And her parents would be there. She'd be so excited to wait for them. She couldn't wait to see them face to face. Yet, you see, we don't know the day that our Father is going to send the angels for us and Jesus is going to come. We don't know the day. But we need to wait with patience and anticipation to the day we'll be in perfection. I'm not perfect here, you well know that, but I will be in heaven, and so will you. She waited for that day, for that experience, to move from that orphanage to that new home in America. All she had hoped for, All she'd ever dreamed for, all she'd ever imagined was far more beyond what she could ever have thought when the new parents came and took her back to her new home. Listen, that holds true for us. All you could ever imagine won't even compare, Paul says, to the glory that awaits us on the other side. We're waiting for, Paul says, the redemption of our bodies. Our souls have been redeemed when you trust Christ. But our bodies will be redeemed one day when Jesus takes us home to our new heaven. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day that will be. Listen, there never has been a day like that. Never will be another day like that. More than I could ever expect. More than you can ever expect. More than we could all imagine. Far beyond, as I said earlier, the half of it hasn't even been told. Won't it be worth waiting for? It was for Carnita, and it will be for us when we get to heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father and our forever family. See, until that time comes, we just all need to remember something. We're not orphans in the world anymore. But I'm not home yet. I'm going to be home. Probably sooner than I realize. We're all going to be home if you've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. If you haven't, you're still an orphan in the world. Alienated from the family of God. Separated from a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. What an advantage. God's waiting to adopt us, every single one of us. If we put our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, we'll too be adopted. And we'll have the assurance that we'll never be rejected again. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, now's a wonderful time to do that. So that when our Father comes for us, we'll be like Carnita, just excited, overjoyed, anticipating, ready to go to our home in heaven forever. Hope you're ready. Just remember, no longer orphans, not yet to heaven, but we will be. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the assurances you give us from your blessed word that you have already made preparation for us to be adopted into the family of God. All, Lord, you're waiting for now is for us to say yes. I want to be a part of God's family. I want to be an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I want to have that forever family. And I want to go to that place in heaven you prepared for us that words cannot express. And so, Lord Jesus, today, I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ and ask you to come into my heart and save me and be my Lord and Master. And I want to live for you until I see you face to face. Then for us, Lord, who know that we have been adopted, we know we're saved, we know that we're secure, permanently part of the family of God, and we know that we're anticipating one day soon coming to go to be home with you. Help us, Lord, as part of the family of God, that before that day comes, that we'll take our time here and use it wisely as a church. Use it wisely as individuals to share the fact with others that they can be adopted too. They can have that forever family, that place in heaven reserved just for them. Peter says it'll fade not away. It won't go away. It'll be there for us. Lord Jesus, I pray today, help us all to really spike up our anticipation and look homeward because we're going home soon. And for those great and wonderful blessings, we thank it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His glory we pray. Amen.
Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We'd love to have you come join us for services. You can get directions right on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Or to watch us on Sundays, we live stream our services at 10:45 on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.